The Lord is risen. He's risen indeed. As we celebrated on Friday, we talked about what's so good about Good Friday. This is what's so good about Good Friday, that Christ has risen from the dead. And today I'm going to share with us from our text from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. Hear then the word of the Lord. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the indoors, locked with fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven." This is the word of the Lord. Let's start with the word of prayer. Lord Jesus, as we open up your word, may the thoughts and meditation of my heart be pleasing in thy sight. And Father, what is not of you, may we not hear it. What is not of you, may we not remember it. But what is of you, may we know it and practice it and let the word of God transform. May your servant present what you want to present. And may your power reign over evil. In Jesus' name, amen. The Gospels describe the five appearances of Jesus after his resurrection. The first account is when he appears before Mary Magdalene in John chapter 20. This is the chapter that we're looking at. And the second appearance is when he appears to the other woman in Matthew chapter 16. The third account is on the way to Emmaus. He talks with two people. And the fourth appearance is before Peter. The fifth appearance is before his disciples, as mentioned in this passage. Now, let's look at the state of Jesus' disciples. So here are the disciples gathered together in this room. They're probably confused in that they were wrestling with their faith, with what Jesus taught and did, and what he said to them. What is the confusion about? He was told by Jesus that he would resurrect. Now, they know the word that he resurrected, and the Lord rolled the stone away from the tomb, and he's appearing. But what they're confused is this really true? They have to see him. They have to see that what Jesus said was true by physically touching him, talking with him, and seeing him. And that was kind of the confusions they were having. So they were here together in this room. Look at in verse 19. It says, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for the fear of the Jewish leaders. Now, there was this great fear among the disciples about the Jewish leaders. What was their fear? They were fearful that they would be next. Since Jesus was arrested, he died. They were fearful that they would come and take him away. And what happens is, as they're in this room, what happens? Verse 19 again. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Now, the way Jesus appeared in this text is not through a door. It wasn't through a regular knock on the door. Instead, he appeared in a very supernatural way. How did it appear in a supernatural way? If you looked at the scriptures, it says that Jesus, after his resurrection, walked through walls. He all of a sudden transported himself to different locations suddenly. If you read the passage about the road to Emmaus, Jesus was transported immediately to another location. And it's a supernatural presence. But the first word that Jesus tells his disciples is, "Peace be with you." The disciples were probably feeling guilty. They were probably feeling that Jesus was going to come at them and was saying to them, "Why did you leave me? Why did you desert me on the time that I was crucified?" But what Jesus had in mind was much more different when he was saying, "Peace be with you." He knew that deep down in their hearts, they needed peace. And he wanted to share with them the peace that he brings to the disciples. And today what we want to look at is the need for peace in our lives and our calling as messengers of peace. So the reason why Jesus said, "Peace be with you," is for need for peace in our lives. All of us need peace in our hearts because of sin. we're broken individuals. When Adam sinned, he broke away from God, and what he did was break himself from God's original intent for our lives. And what sin does is it brings brokenness, it brings hurt, it brings malice, it brings even murder, cruelty, discrimination, all this because we're broken people. And Jesus knew that. And the reason why Jesus came to this world, part of his mission to this world, is to bring peace with God, God's reconciliation. His resurrection from the dead bridges the gap between humans and God. And when Jesus says, peace be with you, it's exactly what Hebrews 9:15 says. He says, for this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. And so the reason why he came was to reconcile us to him, but also he becomes a mediator between us. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 to 28. It says, just as people are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he'll appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. So what Jesus did was coming here on this earth is to bring forth salvation and reconciliation to those who are here. So for this reason, Jesus says, peace be with you. So this is God's invitation to a relationship where we have peace with him. You know, during the 40-day fast, we spent the whole 40-day fast seeking healing. And one of the things that God has in mind for us is to heal us, to make us whole. And God's answer to bring us wholeness was to encounter us on a personal level so that we can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Sorry, we had some technical difficulties where the videos were flickering. And I can't wait to see you guys in person so we can really have a wonderful worship service together. So bear with us. Bear with us for a location to be back and bear with us to be together. And I want to pick up for where we left off from. I talked about the state of the disciples when Jesus, when they heard that Jesus resurrected from the dead, and they were together in this room and they were confused and they were very fearful, but they would be arrested by the Jewish authorities. And in the midst of this situation, while they were in this room, Jesus appears to them, verse 19, and shares with the disciples, peace be with you. Disciples were probably feeling guilty that they deserted Jesus on the day of his crucifixion. And Peter is the most guilty of all because he denied Jesus three times. And they were expecting words of rebuke and blame from Jesus. Instead, Jesus says to them, peace be with you. But what Jesus was sharing was much more deeper. It wasn't just saying peace be with you, but there was this core issue in the heart of the disciples and all humankind. And the core issue was the issue of having peace in our relationship with God. And when Jesus said, peace be with you, he wanted us to be whole in our relationship with God, ourselves and with others, and then be a messenger of peace. And so today what we want to look at is the need for peace and being a messenger of peace. So let's look at the need for peace. The reason why Jesus said, peace be with you, is we all need peace. All of us need peace in our hearts. Because of sin, we're broken people. And when Adam sinned, he broke away from his relationship with God, God's original intent for us. And sin brought what we call brokenness, malice, discrimination, forms of hatred, racism. It brought uneasiness, anxiety, and the list goes on. And we're in this world that we're broken. And when Jesus said, peace be with you, he wants us to mend our hearts. And it begins with our relationship with God. God's plan of reconciliation was that because there was a barrier between us and God ever since the beginning of time, God was pursuing us for a relationship, starting with Book of Genesis. And he came to break the barrier by reconciling us. Let's look at Hebrews 9:15. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. So God becomes man to mediate between us and him, and Jesus sacrifices himself to us so that we can gain salvation. Hebrews 9:27 to 28 says, just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, that he may appear a second time, not to bear sin, to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Christ came not to bear sin, but to bring salvation. And part of his salvation is to bring forth our peace with God. So that's why he says, peace be with you. And it's an invitation to the disciples as well as to ourselves for peace in our lives with him. You know, this past 40 days as we were fasting, our theme has been healed and made whole. God's plan, the first step of being made healed and made whole, begins with our relationship with God, where we can have peace in our relationship with God. And God wants to restore that relationship with him. And the way he does it is first by forgiving us of our sins, giving us salvation by his grace. And by faith, we receiving that, we become saved in Jesus. And through that, God defines our purpose in life. If you look at Ephesians 2:8 and 10, it says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works so that one can boast. For we are God's handiwork. Notice here, you are God's handiwork, created in Christ. So God has created you to be very beautiful. And he, when he says, peace be with you, he needs to understand that you are his handiwork. You are created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So God prepared us to do good works way in advance. And when he says, peace be with you, he not only wants to give us salvation, but also a purpose for our lives. You know, a lot of times we don't have peace in our lives because we don't know what we want to do with our lives. And God gives us purpose, and that purpose is to do good works. To do good works, that is our purpose in our lives. First is salvation, then to do good works. And that's the calling of God. And so when Jesus was talking to the disciples, peace be with you, he's asking them, take the peace I have for you. Take it because I want to give you peace in your life by first granting you salvation and defining your purpose in life by doing good works. But not only does he want to give us peace with God, he also wants to give peace within ourselves. You know, a lot of times we've been hurt by sin. As you know, during the 30-day fast, we talked about forgiving others who hurt us. We talked about sometimes where we need inner healing, where Jesus needs to work to heal our inner soul. And also often, God, by his mercy, heals us physically to make us whole. We need this peace because God wants to heal us from the damage that has been done in our lives. And Jesus wants us to make us whole. So the resurrection of Christ gives us the power to have peace within ourselves. Peace from anxiety, peace from doing things on our own, peace from stress. He's giving it to you. And so when he says, peace be with you, Jesus is very much interested in our inner soul, that we would have peace within ourselves. So that's what he meant when he says, peace be with you. But the third element is to have peace with others. If you look at verse 23, it says, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven, but if you don't forgive them, they're not forgiven. Jesus wants us to be whole in our relationship with God. During our past sermons, we talked about the importance of forgiving people, the importance of releasing people from sins, as well as us not being a herder but a person who brings peace in the lives of people. God brings peace in our relationship with God. And that's why Jesus says, forgive another's sins, because he is demanding that. Because if we don't, we can never be whole. And God did it first by forgiving us. So that forgiveness is so great. He has called us to be messengers of this peace, messengers that bring peace in this world. And what are we, how does he prepare us to be a messenger of peace? When he equips us, verse 20, after he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Notice this, after Jesus said, peace be with you, he showed them his hands. Why did he show them his hands and side? It was to increase their faith. What they were confused about when Jesus rolled away the stone to resurrect from the dead, he gave them evidence that he lives. He gave them evidence, but what they heard and what they were taught, this is really true. He resurrected from the dead. And so he increased their faith. But the second thing that he does in terms of equipping is he equips them with the Holy Spirit. Verse 22, and with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power that works within us. It is the power that we relate with. It's not a what we call power only, but it's a relationship that we relate with and we allow it to work through us. The Holy Spirit is the person that is behind the ministry of peace. He goes with us and he tells us what to do, where to go, what to say, and he is the power that is working through us. And so after equipping us, then Jesus commissions us. Notice here, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. John chapter 21:22, again, Jesus says this. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. He is commissioning us to be those who proclaim the peace of God to the world. You and I are messengers of peace. And as Jesus came to this world to heal, cast out evil, proclaim the kingdom of God, he also wants us to come and to be a messenger of peace. You know, this past year has been quite an unsettling situation for us. We had to deal with COVID. We had to deal with a contentious election. We've witnessed several people who passed away. We even experienced unexpected things that happened to us. Some were found themselves without a job. Some were financially having difficult times. And even in my personal life, we witnessed two key people who have passed away in our lives. One is our niece, as well as one of our beloved alums, who was a Board of Education member in Dublin who passed away. And I would like to invite Esther, who's been my wife for 33 years, to share with us her experience of seeing these tragic events happen and how God's peace reigned over her life.
In my 30 years of doing the ministry with Pastor Soon, I have never asked him that I really need to speak. I want to share the testimony. And, you know, I apologize that this will prolong our Easter service when we have a picnic coming up really soon, but I hope that this will make sense to all of you. And so when you see the pictures that we're going to just share with you, what you see is my niece, the one on the front. The girl on the front was when she was well and healthy. And then you see her in a hospital gown at the bottom. And that was 14 days before she passed away. And then I want to show you Catherine's picture, which Pastor Sun just talked about. I just want to share with you these two people's death in the last two weeks. So my niece, she was not unknown to the suffering because when she was born, she had this big blob of a skin problem that she had to go to the hospital on a regular basis. But one of the things that I noticed about her was she was calm, she was hardworking, and she was very optimistic. And when we heard that she had cancer, we had we've been praying for her. It's been a number of years. And it was already metastasized that, you know, when the cancer was advancing, I knew that her time was not too long. And so on March 6th, some of the families gathered together over Zoom, and we had time to talk with her. And, you know, one of the things she said was, you know, next year, I'll see you in the United States. She had this firm faith that if it was God's willing, if it's God's plan, that she will be healed. And with that same kind of faith and hope, she shared her faith with other terminal cancer patients. And at least three people had come to the Lord through her testimony. On March 20th, that's Saturday, I have a Bible study with moms on Saturday night. And I said, I only have one prayer request, because by then I knew she was suffering a lot. I said, I really want the Lord to call her home as soon as possible without much suffering. And then I went to sleep. The next day, I woke up and I was checking my phone, and I realized that she had passed away while we were having a Bible study. And I praised the Lord. I was sad, but I praised the Lord. That was Saturday. On 21st, the Sunday, I had an opportunity to be with Lena, who also lost her mom about a year ago. And we planned to go actually on Thursday, but then something happened. And so we rescheduled it for Sunday. Be unknownst to me that my niece was going to be passing away on Saturday. So on Sunday, we were there at her mom's cemetery, consoling each other. And I said, wow, this is great. God really answered the prayer. You know, she's in heaven without suffering. I just praise the Lord. And then, even though I cried, I really, really was really happy for Hee-jung. I thank God for answering prayers of so many people. And so, you know, I was in really a great praising mood. And then on 24th, that's Wednesday, so only 4 days after, I hear the phone ringing, and one of the alumnus is crying over the phone and was telling both Pastor Soon and I that Catherine passed away. I was devastated. I just praised God for the passing of my niece who's been suffering from cancer. I was prepared for her death. I wasn't prepared for Catherine. I didn't know what to make sense out of it. I thought about William. I thought about her children, Thomas and Natalie. What can I share with them? I had no words of comfort. So I was in a, let's say, a dilemma, a spiritual dilemma. Then I had to teach Palm Sunday on 28th. So that's 4 days after her death. And the subject was on the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that I had to share with them was about John 16:7. And he said, "Very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away." This is Jesus speaking. "Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." See, that really struck me. This is Jesus speaking. Before he passed away, he was warning the disciples. The disciples, as we all know, didn't want to believe him. And then there was Palm Sunday. Like, they had seen Jesus being welcomed by the crowd. And they were like, you know, going crazy about Jesus, right? How excited they must have been. But only a few days later, Jesus was crucified. Can you imagine what they must have felt? What happened to my master? In today's world, today's word, excuse my language, he would be like, "What the F? What happened?" And then they would have asked, what about us, right? And I realized that was exactly what I was in. And so many people who knew Catherine. Then Jesus said something. Just as Jesus said that without me going away, the Holy Spirit will not come. I recognized that just as Holy Spirit came to us after Jesus had passed away. I mean, he was here even before then, but him coming to all of us was after his passing. And so I recognize, you know, Catherine is gone, but her spirit is with us, with her family. But you know what I actually saw was God's grace. I saw God's grace in people's death, the family who are grieving, whether it is a prepared death or whether it is so unprepared, regardless what it is, I saw God's grace saying, I am here with you and I will be with you forever. And so I just wanted to comfort you. And I'm sorry, but this is a poem that Ja-eun, she has a daughter, autism, and she's one of the, you know, ladies with beautiful faith. And she sent this poem. I just want to share as conclusion. I can trust God with the timing of my loved one's death. I can trust God with the way my loved one died. I can trust God with the unknowns about my future. I can trust God with my unanswered questions until faith becomes sight. I can trust God to heal the hurt. I can trust God to fill the emptiness. I can trust God to illumine this darkness. I can trust God to restore joy to my life. I can trust God to speak to me through his word. I can trust God to supply sufficient grace and divine power for facing whatever comes. I can trust God to cause this to work together for my good and for the good of others impacted by this, to conform us more closely to the image of Christ. Lastly, I can trust God that Resurrection Day is really coming and it will be worth all the waiting. Thank you.
Thank you, Esther. As you know, because of the power of the Lord, he gives us the power to overcome any obstacles. And his peace will work through us amidst unexpected things. And I hope during this Easter that we're reminded of God's peace in our lives.